You know, being born on leap year, that was another story.
This is an oral history of Madeline Chalk Walden, taken at her home on September the 12th, 2007. The interviewers are Kay Gilbreth and Kathleen Foster. Madeline, who were your parents?
My parents were Joseph Chalk and Mary Dupson, Mary Opal Dupson. And I was born to them on February the 29th. 1936, in a little house, farmhouse southeast of Monticello, around 4 miles, and Dr. Holmes delivered me at the house. My Aunt Clara, my dad's sister, was with my mom when I was born also.
And who were your grandparents?
My grandparents were Dan Sherman Dupson Sr., and he was born and raised around D-Land. And my grandmother was Myrtle Wood, and she was born at Lodge, and they married, I'm not sure when, but. And the other grandparent was Joseph Everett Chalk and Lena McLaughlin Chalk. Lena came over from Ireland, and they settled in near Ivesdale. And Grandma joined, or was, a very devout Catholic, and she went to St. Boniface Catholic Church over around Seymour. And my grandfather Joe farmed over near Ivesdale. And there were 9 other children besides my dad. I have an aunt who is only 7 months older than I am. They
very
are all
good.
Deceased, except one aunt and one uncle on my dad's side.
What schools did you attend?
I attended Lincoln School in Monticello, the 1st through 8th grades. I can recall when I was in 2nd grade, I was to go to Lincoln, of course, but we had no way to get there, and Mr. Baird, who was the superintendent of schools, came out and talked to my mom and dad and asked them if they would bring us to school, my brother and I, along with 2 or 3 or 4 more kids, if Mom would drive us every day to school and then take us home. The other kids lived, 3 of them lived on the Kratz farm and worked for J.D. Kratz. Their names were Verlin and Daryl Nisley. And they were raising a little a girl besides them, I believe was a cousin, and her name was Juanita Kinzer. Then we would leave them and go and pick up Dale Koss, who worked, his dad worked for Alva Royce. Then we turn around and go into school, and then at 3 o'clock, 3:30, whenever school was out, Mom would be there in the Model A Ford to pick us all up. We took our lunches, and there were no hot lunches at that point.
And you had one brother?
Yes, I have one brother who is 11 months younger than I am. He was born January the 31st, 1937. And we both went to high school at Monticello High and graduated from there.
We know you worked at the dairy bar.
Yes.
Could you tell us about that?
I started working at the dairy when I was 16, and I worked for Bob Miller, who owned the dairy, and Laura Peck was the superintendent or whatever, manager of the dairy bar, and I started working in the summer. I worked from June all through the summer, and I worked many hours. One week, I remember, I worked 70-some hours. I got 40 cents an hour. But, you know, that was big stuff at that point when I was going to school. I worked all through, that would have been my junior year. I'd go to work at 4 o'clock and work till 10 o'clock every night. And then I worked every Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 5 or 6 o'clock, whatever I needed to work. And I worked there all through junior and part of my senior year. And then I got a chance to go to Eisner's on the, just south of the square, and I worked for, it was Eisner Food Store, and I worked there for, I think, 70 cents an hour, checking and stocking shelves until I graduated. And then when I graduated, I started to work for Keith Hudson and N.E. Hudson's attorneys in Monticello. I can honestly say that Keith Hudson was the most brilliant man I have ever worked for. Of course, I haven't worked for too many, but Keith was a perfectionist, and I really learned a lot from him. I worked hard, but I really learned a lot from him, and I really still respect him very much for all of his knowledge and brilliant ideas that he has.
Great, and back to the dairy bar. What were the names of some of the other people who worked there?
Okay, when I was working there, I worked with Helen Cook. She was one of many, and she was working to go. She worked long hours too in the summer because she was going to go to nurses training, and she had to pay her own way. So she worked many hours to do that. I recall Joe Feltz worked there also. That was J.K. Feltz, who was the history teacher. It was his second son there. At the dairy in the back, oh my goodness, Hank Dyson worked there, Russell Carnes, Leonard Dean, Dale Cody. I remember Don Russman, because he would come in every Sunday morning and make cottage cheese in the back. And he and I'd be the only one there early on Sunday morning, because he would be there when I would go in, and I'd have to open up the dairy bar and till about, I don't know, 9 o'clock or whatever, and then I would continue working and all the rest of the day, and Laura would be there, and Laura would make barbecue. Mrs. Earl Hicks would cook shoulders, and then she would bring them in to Laura, and Laura would cut them up in little pieces, and then we froze the meat, except what we were using, but we always had to make sure every day we had enough out of the freezer to last us the whole day. And when we got low, we would tell Laura, well, Mrs. Hicks would cook some more, bring them in. Laura made our own barbecue sauce. We would heat the buns in a steamer and along with the barbecue. We had to make sure there was water in that steamer because it would burn up the barbecue, and that was not a good thing with Laura. So anyway, Laura made her own barbecue sauce, and we put that on top of the cut meat, and then we'd put cut up slaw or cabbage on top of that, and I believe they sold for 30 cents a piece.
Ever been another barbecue like the dairy bars?
No, it was wonderful. And a milkshake was a quarter. And boy, you had to make that just right, too, because you put the flavor in first, and then two or three dips of ice cream, and then milk, and put it on the milkshake machine. And then, you know, serve it, and go that route. We made sodas, and they were the best sodas.
And that was homemade ice cream, right?
Yes, they made all their ice cream at the dairy also. And we also sold the milk that they bottled there at the dairy. There was a cooler for just milk and cottage cheese and cream. And
was there also a delivery, milk delivery at that time?
Yeah, Charlie Vinson would take milk and deliver it to stores and businesses and stuff like that. But I can also remember in town when Mr. A.C. Miller owned the dairy, not this particular dairy, but one down north of town off of Greeley Street where the ice house was, farmers would bring milk in there, and they would bottle it, and a milkman actually brought the quarts of milk to your porch every other day and left them. Hank Dyson did that. I can remember Hank with the horse and the milk truck, and he would leave us you'd put your what you wanted in the day before's jar or bottle, and then he would go to the milk truck and get what you wanted.
And this dairy bar was located where?
It was on the corner of Market and Marion Street. And Bob Miller owned that. And he was the first person to use the cardboard milk containers. And also, he would have, if you had a special baby or a special occasion, you could take the picture in, and he would put that on the milk carton. And that would be on there for a week, and then somebody else would do something. Or a sports function, you know, the schedule for the ball games or whatever.
And wasn't he famous for treating the athletic teams?
Yes. Every, whatever season or ball season it was, when they were finished, he would take all the ball players out to his cabin. And it was an old schoolhouse. And I want to say it was the old Dighton schoolhouse. And he bought it and turned it into a more or less a clubhouse where they could cook outside. And he would cook steaks for everybody, the coaches and everybody. And he has also entertained many from the University of Illinois also. And that was a great treat for all the boys.
And who did you marry?
I married Jim Walden on June the 10th, 1956, at the First Presbyterian Church in Monticello.
And Jim was a local boy.
At that time, yes. He did grow up around. Well, he was. They were in Kentucky, and they were in White Heath, and so yeah, he was more or less a local boy.
How many children did you have?
Two. We had a son in 59, and he was James Morrell Walden II, and then 18 months later, we had a daughter, and her name is Terry Renee, and she married Mark Mackey, who is now a commander in the Coast Guard, and he is up for captain. Our son, at this time, lives in Amelia Island in Florida. He owns an electrical company, repair company, and he has four children. The oldest has his master's in communications. The daughter is a senior this year at the University of Missouri in Columbia in art history and business. He had twin sons. One's at Dayton, at the University of Dayton in business. And Paul is at Boulder, Colorado, at the University of Colorado in pre-med. So they've done well. And his wife is a doctor of psychology. She has her own practices, and she travels extensively giving seminars on gifted children to colleges and to schools and different things of that nature. Our daughter married Mark Mackey, who is a cousin of Dwight Mackey. They live now in California. Of course, he's a commander in the Coast Guard, up for captain. Our daughter received her master's with straight A's in May in communication of some sort. She is now studying Spanish. I think she's a professional student. Her oldest son, Jedediah, is 27, and he has been in Iraq 3 times. He earned a bronze medal, bronze star, his second round. He is now a city policeman. He has gone to the Police Academy of California, and he is now a city policeman in Petaluma. Elizabeth, their daughter, who is 25, has been married, has a little boy, and he's a year and a half. She is still going to school also, and she's studying women's health. And their youngest one, who is 23, is a Navy SEAL. So they're a very busy family.
Very active.
Yes.
What was your husband's occupation when you married?
Oh, when we married, he worked at Clifford Jacobs in Champaign. And from then, he went to Wandell's, and he actually started Wandell's Prairie Gardens. And when their son graduated, Wandell's son graduated from college, then he took it over. And Jim went into sales for Drake Scruggs in Decatur. He traveled. It was a good job. From there, he sold bucket trucks and and all kinds of equipment, garbage trucks, you know, everything like that. Then he went to work for TECO, which is strictly bucket trucks. They're out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was there, I don't know, 15 years, I guess. And then Altec, another bucket truck manufacturer, came and asked him to go to work for them, so he did. And it was a nice move, and it's been very successful. And he's still working there today and loves it. We've been all over the United States and Hawaii. We've been in every state in the United States. We've been Jamaica, Nassau, for stuff for his business. So,
and also he has started his own subdivision.
Yes,
Walden Ponds.
Right, we started that 6 years ago, and it's doing well.
Certainly is.
Oh,
tell us about the flower shop.
Okay, my kids were, oh my goodness, I would say Terry was 7 and Jimmy was 9. And I decided I wanted to open up the flower shop. So we went to Andy Anderson at First State Bank, God love him, and we rented the building on the corner of Main and Charter, and opened up a shop there across from the state bank. We repaired the building somewhat, and we opened up around Mother's Day, because I remember our first Mother's Day, I went to work on Thursday morning, and I did not go home till Saturday night. Worked all the time. And I could not tell you how many dozens of roses we sold that year. Mom and Dad would go to Pena and pick up boxes of fresh roses from air-conditioned roses, bring them back, we'd sell all them, and there they'd go again. I mean, it was just a riot. We were exhausted. We were putting roses in boxes on the floor. I mean, it was good, you know. And from then, we had the flower shop for 20-some years, I guess. During that time, we had no holidays, so to speak, because I worked all the time. Our first Christmas, I always had a real pretty window in the front windows. And our first Christmas, we were so busy, I went to Gamble's and got my Christmas presents for my kids. And we loaded up the Christmas tree that was in the window Christmas Eve and brought it home for our own Christmas, because I had no time to do anything else. And then we had that, and while we still had that, we bought another building, and we opened up Hallmark Card Shop and a beauty shop in the back. And that was great, too, but I was going to work at 6 o'clock, coming home, get my kids, get their breakfast, take them to school, work all day, order flowers, pay all the bills, do everything, go to the card shop and the beauty shop and try to do that, because Jim was on the road selling.
And where was this card shop, beauty shop located?
It was on South Charter, where a Gamble's used to be at one point. I can't recall the... It's where the...
Can you tell us what's there now?
Yeah, the bistro is there now.
All right.
Uh-huh.
On the square.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then in later years, we bought McGinnis's flower shop. We bought their inventory and their business, and then we took everything and put it in our building on the corner of Main and Charter.
And who did you sell your flower shop to?
We sold our flower shop to Jack and Phyllis Grove, because their two daughters worked for me, and so they just took it on over, and they did very well. The girls were very talented, and we used to work hard, but we had a lot of fun.
When we were talking about the dairy bar, that brings back memories of Western Week.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us your remembrance of Western Week?
Yes. I can remember Lura made all the barbecue for anyone during Western Week. Then they served it, I believe it was on a Friday night. Anybody that came to town could get a barbecue. And I mean, there were gallons of barbecue.
Was that free barbecue?
I can't recall. I think it was. I think it probably was. I think Bob donated that, you know. And all the stores around the square would decorate like the Old West. Their storefronts would be duplicates or replicas of Old West. People all wore cowboy stuff and denim stuff. They had a queen for the Western Week each year. And I recall one time Tam Miller, now Tam Abbott, was one of the queens for the Trailblazers. But it was a fun week. There was always something going on, and we had music and floats, and, you know, it was
it lasted a whole week, usually.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was a fun thing. Everybody enjoyed it. I don't know why they stopped doing it, but it was fun while it lasted.
When you were growing up,
yes,
where did your folks go to the grocery? What grocery stores do you remember as a child?
I remember Omke's grocery store. And at one time, it was where Fred Zibel is right now. It was a small store. And there was a lady by the name of Ashby, and she was the checker. And I can remember going in there, and people on State Street that were quite wealthy would call. And Mrs. Ashby would write down what they needed and gather it up. And then they had a delivery truck, and they would take those groceries to the people on State Street. And then they would just bill them once a month, and they would pay their bill, and, you know, and that just continued on. But I remember Harold Chambers was the meat man. And because Sally, his daughter, was in my class, and she and I'd go up and see her dad once in a while, you know, after later on in years. But then Omke's moved to the corner where CF&H is now. They expanded. And that was nice. And I can recall when I was a kid, of course, we didn't come to town very often, but there were certain days they were going to get in Silco's or nylons and bananas. And that was really a treat to come to town and buy bananas. And if Mom needed nylons, you know, they didn't have nylons because they used it in the war, in World War II. So it was kind of limited for supply.
Do you remember where you were when you heard about the Pearl Harbor?
Oh, I see. I would have been 5 years old.
So you might not remember.
I don't recall. I recall when the war ended because I can see Mom at her little wooden ironing board, and Della Scott was her name, Ed and Della Scott. They lived north of us a mile, and they came down and told us that the war had ended, and that was so great. And then there was a big celebration around the square. I mean, confetti, people were, it was a great, great celebration at that time.
I know your mother helped with some parties up on State Street. Can you tell us?
Yes. She would do, most of the women on State Street would already have their menu and part of their hors d'oeuvres or meals partly finished. And Mom would go in and finish them up and serve it to them and do dishes and clean up the kitchens. And some of those people were Bill and Ruth McCann, Henry Dighton, who married a Pembroke, Dr. Allman, Vince Walsh, Bill and Frances Burgess, Platts's, Max and Izzy Platts, and I think Hudson's. Don Pyatt, yes, and Carlene, and Barney Slavin lived on there, and they would all get to, I believe, I have heard Mom say they had a cocktail hour every night at 5:00. They were at one of these houses having their cocktails, but she would help on certain, like Cosmos Club, the dance club that everybody used to belong to on State Street and anybody else that wanted to later on. But you had to be approved by the Cosmos Club committee in order to get into Cosmos Club at that time.
And where did they hold the Cosmos Club dances?
You know, I believe many years ago, I have seen pictures of it where the dollar store is now. The property belonged to Bill Lodge, and there was a dance floor. He put up a dance floor, and they'd have dances there. And then later on, I believe it moved to Kratz Hall, where there used to be dances every Saturday night, and that is above the First State Bank. But that was a good time. I mean, that's where I learned to dance. Everybody in town that wanted to dance would go to Kratz Hall on Saturday night and have a ball. There'd be an orchestra, and it was lots of fun. And then later on, the community building, they would dance at the ball in the ballroom at the community building and decorate for each dance. There would be a spring dance and a Halloween dance and a Christmas dance and a New Year's dance, you know.
And they were pretty dressy affairs.
Oh, yes. You dressed very fine to go to those dances. And the kids served pop out of the horse tanks, which were cold. And then if people wanted to drink, they would bring their own bottle and mix their own drinks. But later on, that went by the wayside. They didn't allow drinking anymore. And so I think that's what happened to the Cosmos Club. They just kind of fizzled out because people wanted to have a little cocktail as they were dancing.
Who was your favorite teacher when you went to Monticello High School?
My favorite teacher, I do believe, was Barb Cook. She taught English. And you really had to know what you were doing to pass that class, because she was very strict. But she taught you how to write properly, correctly, and taught you your English skills very much. And she was a young teacher, but she was very, very good. And I can remember doing things for her that really did help me later on, and you know.
Thank you very much, Madeline. Well, we appreciate you doing this for our Historical and Genealogical Society.
Thank you. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it.